Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. I am here to talk about deploy and manage Windows Hello for Business. How is everyone doing today? Good. Enjoying Ignite? All right. Let me start with an introduction. I am Yogesh Mehta. I am the principal PM lead. I work on the OS security team as part of the Windows and Devices group. And the area I focus on is identity and authentication. So I'm responsible for a set of technologies that range from Windows Hello, Credential Guard, the authentication platform, and the support for AAD join in Windows. But simply put, I'm a man with a mission, and my mission is to get the world rid of passwords. And that's what we are going to talk about today. So why are passwords a problem? Shouldn't be news to most of you, but every time I talk about Windows Hello, I look at, you know, what's the latest in the news that has to do with this problem of passwords. And interestingly, just last week, we had this news come out. Yahoo revealed the data breach that occurred of at least 500 million accounts. And we're talking about not just passwords, but also questions that lead to password reset and other information about the users. Is there anyone from Yahoo here? So last year, this was in the news as well. This is the United States Office of Personnel Management. The breach here involved pretty much anybody who works for the US government. And these are people who have access to the most sensitive data in the world, and their credentials were stolen by attackers. And then this happened. Mark Zuckerberg's Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest accounts were hacked. If you read the article, what was interesting was the attackers got into his LinkedIn account, and he used the same password for Twitter and Pinterest. And this is Mark Zuckerberg we are talking about. So the point here is passwords are a problem, and we are trying to figure out ways to move the world away from passwords. So why are passwords a problem? The biggest reason passwords are a problem is because passwords are shared secrets. Should not be news to anyone. But the problem here is the fact that when somebody is using a password, it's a secret that is shared with the client and the server, which makes it easy to be stolen. It makes it easy to be breached and to be phished through social engineering. So if you guys attended the general session we had on Windows 10 on Monday, you probably know the answer to these questions. But for those who didn't, I would love to hear some guesses. This was a survey done about users who share their password with coworkers. How many percent of users do you think said yes, they share their passwords? 50? 60? It's even more than that. 66% of users said that they share their password with their coworkers. This is another interesting one. You know, this question was about how many people would sell their passwords for less than $1,000. I've also seen a segment on this on Jimmy Kimmel where they have tried to just go ask people for their passwords and people would just reveal them for something even less than $1,000. So how many percent of users do you think said they would sell their passwords for less than $1,000? 75, okay, this was less than that, 20%. But the bottom line here is passwords are a problem, and we need to find a better way out. And it's not just something that me or my team is working on. This is a mission for Microsoft. This is what Satya had to say last year at a conference. We are on a mission to build a world without passwords. And what we really want to do is to take the world to a place where passwords are replaced by something that is just as convenient, leveraging biometrics that cannot be hacked. So all of this to say that we need to build a solution that is better than passwords, it's more convenient, it's more secure. And that's where Windows Hello for Business comes in. Some of you might be wondering, what is Windows Hello for Business? Like, what's the new part here? So if you remember, when we first came out with Windows Hello last year, when Windows 10 came out, we had two terms that we used. We had Windows Hello, and we had something we called Microsoft Passport. And those of you who have been around Microsoft technologies for 10 years or more, probably had heard the term passport in a different connotation. So there was enough confusion around the term passport, and also the fact that Windows Hello is really the aspirational brand we have for the next generation of authentication technologies, that we have now taken everything under the Windows Hello brand. And so this idea of Windows Hello and Microsoft Passport that serves an enterprise need and an enterprise requirement is what we call Windows Hello for Business. So before I go into what is Windows Hello for Business and how we deploy it and manage it, just want to get a sense around the room. So what do you use today for your authentication methods? How many of you use passwords in your organizations? Wow, okay, that's a significant percentage of folks around here. How many of you have deployed smart cards or virtual smart cards? All right, that's about, I would guess, 10% of the audience. Any other methods you use? Some examples? Hello, I love that answer. MFA, great, yeah. So, passwords plus MFA is a common thing we are seeing as people are trying to move to a stronger authentication solution. Another background question, just to help me understand where folks are at today. How many of you use PKI or enterprise PKI in your environments? That's about, I would guess, 60% of the room. That's good to know. So the reason I ask these questions is it helps me understand where you folks are at, but it also helps to put in context the investments we are making and how they address various deployment needs, various deployment situations. So let's talk about Windows Hello for Business, what it is, and what are some of the properties and problems it tries to solve. So we talked a lot about passwords being a problem and the fact that we need to move away from them. This is not the first time we have tried to come up with something that is better than a password. You know, the thing with passwords is they are not secure, but they are convenient. You can easily use them. You don't need additional devices. So it's something that has worked for a long time. And the alternatives that we have come up with, whether it's smart cards or even some of the MFA solutions, they are convenient. They are not convenient. They're secure, but they require additional deployment. Just with smart cards, you need readers, you need a management software. So that's one of the reasons why we haven't seen these alternatives take off. We believe we can build something that is convenient and secure, and that is what we have done with Windows Hello, and that's the kind of the directional investment we are making ongoing to make sure not only is it secure, not only does it solve all the problems that exist with passwords, but it is also convenient. And convenience isn't just about end users. I mean, it's important that we have something that is easy for users to use, but I just as well care about IT admins. I want them to build something that is convenient not just to use, but to deploy and to manage. And that's really the goal we have with Windows Hello for Business. So this is kind of where we talk about convenience and how, again, any of you who have used Hello, that's the animation we have built in. It's a very nice animation where it's now something that people associate with Hello. So just kind of recapping some of the properties of Windows Hello. It's an easy to deploy two-factor password alternative. I heard some people here talk about they are already using Hello. So good to know you guys have probably looked at some of the deployment aspects of it. And I'm going to talk at length about how we have made it easier to deploy with the anniversary update. The Hello credentials are breach, theft, and phish resistant, and that's really born out of the fact that these are not based on shared secrets. These are based on asymmetric keys. A big part of what we are doing with Hello is not just to give you a strong credential, but to also enable single sign-on experience. In some of the other sessions, you've probably heard about work we have done with Azure Active Directory and conditional access. And if you're using Hello to sign in and you want to enforce MFA on any of your services, whether it's Office 365 or SharePoint, Hello would give you that single sign-on experience where once you sign into the device, you get that single sign-on to all the services and applications you use. And then Hello for Business not only supports PIN and biometric, which was part of what we released in Windows 10 last year, But with the anniversary update, we welcomed companion devices to the family of Windows Hello devices. Some of you may have attended a session earlier today where we talked at length about companion devices. And later on, I'll have some demos to share about how these devices work and how they are part of the Windows Hello family. So when we talk about Windows Hello, we are not only thinking about local credentials. This is important. The local credential is a key that is stored on your device that gives you the strong two-factor authentication. So if you're using a Surface Book and you use your face to sign into the Surface Book, the key is tied to the device, you're using your face, and you get a good experience. But we also support remote credentials. The reason remote credentials are interesting is not just to give you a factor that is outside the device, such as a key stored on a phone or a companion device, but remote credentials also enable a class of scenarios that local credentials don't support. For example, if you are in a classroom setting where you are using a Surface Hub and you have multiple users trying to use the same device, a remote credential is a great way to solve that shared device problem. It also allows credentials to roam more easily because it stays on the phone or the companion device. And I'll reiterate this, we did not want to introduce Hello just because it's secure or just because it's convenient. We want to have it there for both reasons, and I want to make sure that when you deploy it, when you use it in your environments, it addresses those goals, and if it doesn't, I want to hear that feedback so we can go back and improve and make sure we are meeting your requirements. So a little bit of background about how Hello works. It's based on a certificate or an asymmetrical key pair. So what we mean by that is when you are setting up Windows Hello, we generate a public-private key pair. The private key is tied to the device, and the public key is tied to the account. So it's stored whether it's on AAD or AD or on Microsoft account if you're a consumer setting up Hello. To the user, it's one of the gestures we talked about. It's either a PIN, a biometric, or a device they are using. And to set up Hello, you need to go through a bootstrapping process. Because Hello is a two-factor auth credential, we want to make sure that the user is going through some sort of a proofing process to set that up. That could be a one-time password, it could be a code sent to your phone, and based on those proofs, the validation is completed and the user is granted a Hello credential. So this is going to be just an explanation of how Hello works and give you a little bit of an overview of how things are stored in the system. So when the user starts off, they are either entering their PIN or looking at the camera or using a companion device. What happens at that point is we verify that user credential. So when you type in a PIN or you use your face, there's a verification step that happens that then unlocks a Hello container. Hello container is just a logical container of a place where we store the keys that are used for Hello for Business. There are two kinds of keys, broadly speaking. There are enterprise keys. These are keys you would use for your enterprise scenarios. And there are consumer keys. This is something you would use for banking or for MSA authentication. So let's dive into the deployment and management piece. This is the kind of the meat of the talk, and I'm going to have some explanation about not only what we have in the product today, but I'll also share with you some of the roadmap that we are looking at. And my goal here is to make sure you are aware of how to deploy and manage Windows Hello, and more importantly, also give us feedback on how we can help your deployment requirements, how we can help you adopt Windows Hello and scale in your environments. So let's start with the workflow. As I mentioned earlier, the user has to first go through an identity proofing process. This is where the user is proving their identity to an IDP. We support in the enterprise context Azure Active Directory and Active Directory, but it could also be a consumer IDP that could include our own consumer IDP, which is Microsoft account, or a different IDP such as Google or Facebook or any other IDP. Once the user has gone through the proofing process, the IDP is issuing an authorization token. This is important because this is the token that is then going to be used to access the various services that you're using. So for example, when you use Hello in a domain context, when I'm using Hello to connect to AD, it's effectively going to translate into a Kerberos token that I'm then going to use to access my internet resources. If I'm doing this with AAD, it's the AAD token that is going to be used for accessing the resources. Now let's talk about how does the backend look like for the various configurations we support. There are two primary configurations that we support today in the Windows 10 anniversary update. One of them is what we call the cloud only or the Azure Active Directory only configuration. The backend here includes the Azure DRS, the device registration service. This is where the devices are registered back to AAD, and the directory itself, where we are storing the keys that are tied to the user. And the AAD only configuration is good for those deployments that are cloud only, that are standalone. This is where most of your services are third-party apps or apps that are in the cloud. But I understand that many of you are still in what we call a hybrid environment, where you have started to migrate to the cloud, but you still have a set of services and applications that are running in an on-prem environment. So for that, we have a slightly different picture, and I'll talk about the hybrid deployment in a little bit more detail later on. But what this includes now is you also have the AD, and you have AAD in the cloud. So to enable a hybrid scenario for Hello for Business, one of the key requirements is we need to have you do an AAD sync, so your credentials are synced between the on-prem directory and the cloud. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. Sorry. These are just examples of various user-proofing technologies that we support for Hello. So let's dive into exactly what you need to set up in your environment when you're deploying Hello for Business. So let me explain a couple of concepts here. There's a concept we call key trust, and there's a concept we call certificate trust. When I asked earlier how many of you have PKI in your environment, I saw about 60% of the room raise their hands. So if you do not have PKI in your environments and you're trying to roll out Hello and you're trying to move away from passwords, we have a way for you to move to Hello in a much more seamless manner, which is where we use keys instead of X509 certificates to enable authentication. And this is what we call key trust. So in the key trust configuration, there are, when we talk about deployment, there are three parts to the puzzle. One is the directory, the other is the infrastructure, and the third is the management piece. So when we talk about key trust, from a directory standpoint, if you're a hybrid customer, you are going to be looking at AAD and AD. That's kind of just a core part of what you have. But you would also need Azure Active Directory Connect. And this is required to make sure we have the directory synchronization of the keys between the on-prem and the cloud, and device registration to make sure your devices are correctly registered in the directory. The next step is what do you need from an infrastructure standpoint. I want to point out that if you are doing key trust, we do require a Windows Server 2016 domain controller. This is needed because, again, key trust is not leveraging X509 certificates, and is in this environment, we actually added some smarts in the DC to be able to use those keys directly for authentication. So what we are looking at in this environment is a 2016 domain controller that you can set up. We just talked about Server 2016 release yesterday at the keynote. And even if you are still looking at starting out a deployment, this is definitely something you can pilot and use and scale up. The important thing here is while this is key trust for all your clients, so let's say you are doing this across a 10,000 client environment, for the DC itself, you still need a trust anchor. So that would be, you don't need a PKI to manage all of your clients, but you do need just a CA running for the DC to have a certificate, because when the client is talking to the DC, it still requires a certificate to authenticate the DC itself. How will you be managing this environment? So for KeyTrust in a hybrid environment, we support all forms of management. We support group policy for domain joined devices, and we support MDM for AAD joined devices, whether those are phones or PCs, and even for what we call the BYOD model, which is a personal device, such as a phone or a PC, that has enrolled in Intune or a compatible MDM. So this should give you a picture of what are the pieces of the puzzle that you need if you're looking at a KeyTrust environment. The more common environment that we see, based on people we have talked to, is the certificate trust environment. So certificate trust is where we are actually using an X509 certificate that is used to authenticate. Some of the reasons why you may want to choose certificate trust over key trust would be if you have existing services that require certificates. So if you are using VPN that is doing certificate-based authentication, then certificate-based hello is the way to go, because that's what you will need when you want to do single sign-on for your VPN. So how is it different from key trust? When it comes to the directory, the pieces are the same. You still need to have AD and AAD in your environment, and you need an AAD connect to make sure the credentials are synced correctly. The big difference is when we talk about the DC requirement. In my experience talking to customers, this has been a point that needs some clarification. If you are setting up Hello for Business in the certificate trust configuration, you do not need a DC 2016. You can use your existing domain controllers in this environment. So if you're looking to deploy Hello, but the DC requirement is something that is holding you back, this is the way to go. You can set up certificate trust-based deployment of Hello using your existing domain controllers. The reason this works is because we are using a certificate, it just plugs into the Kerberos protocol, and that's why we don't need any changes to the DC to enable sign-in with Hello. For certificate deployment, you do need to set up the NDES role. This is required for making sure we can use the certificate deployment using SCCM, and that kind of brings me to the next piece, which is what do you need from a management standpoint. For domain joined devices, you would use GP to manage them, but the big thing here is for certificate enrollment in a hybrid environment, today we do require you to have SCCM to deploy those certificates. If you are looking at non-domain joined devices, so your phones or PCs that are not domain joined, then you would use Intune or any compatible MDM to manage those devices. So let's talk a little bit about management. Some of the questions I have often seen in this space is around, how do I manage Hello for Business? I want my users to use PINs, but I want them to be 6-digit PINs instead of the default 4-digit. So these are the policies that we support for managing Windows Hello for Business. These policies are something you can enable through SCCM or through Intune. Some of the policies that I want to spend a few minutes on. So first one is just enabling Windows Hello for Business. The next one is an important one to understand, using a trusted platform module. So when we started out with Windows Hello for Business, we looked at the landscape, and one of the challenges we have today is majority of the devices out in the market still don't support a TPM. We are moving away from that. All the new devices are coming up with TPMs, but it's still not something that is available in 90% plus devices. So we enable Windows Hello for Business in a mode that we call TPM preferred, meaning if your device has a TPM, we will store the keys, we'll leverage the TPM to protect the keys. But if your device doesn't have a TPM, we will fall back to software. In your environments, if you have a requirement where the key should always be created in hardware, or you have devices that are all TPM-based, then you should use this policy to force the key creation in a TPM. So this is where use a TPM required policy comes in. Just as an example, we have deployed Windows Hello for Business in Microsoft across over 150,000 devices now. And there, we have this policy to require TPM. The authentication method, so this is what I talked about, where it can be key-based or certificate-based. And then configuring the minimum pin length. We default to 4, but you can go to the policy settings and set a pin length of 6 or more. And then there are a few other policies of note, you know, whether you want to use alphanumeric pins. It's something that is an option. You can set it through policy. And I'll talk about phone sign-in and some of the other stuff later on in the conversation. So before I go into new features, any questions up until this point? So that's a great question. The question was, what happens when the user forgets their PIN? So there are a couple of flows that we support today. If you have forgotten your PIN, and you for example, sign into your device with a password, you can go to the settings UI. We have an I forgot my PIN workflow that then allows you to do two-factor auth and get your PIN. We don't have that available on devices where you're not using a password. For example, if you're just on a phone that has a PIN and you forget your PIN, we don't have that available for an AAD joint phone. That's something on our roadmap that we are working on. All right, so at this point, a lot of what I talked about applied to the Windows 10 release from last year, what was the original 1511 release of Windows 10, where Windows Hello for Business was first was supported. Let me now talk about some of the new features that we introduced in the anniversary update. So when we looked at the release of Windows 10 and the feedback we heard from customers, these were some of the top pain points that came up. And if these were not your pain points, you had some other pain points, I would love to hear them. But this is kind of what bubbled up when we looked at the feedback coming in. Number one, when we released Windows 10 and Windows Hello for Business, we had a concept of two pins. There was a pin for your personal use, and there was a pin for work use that was called the work pin. This was confusing as hell for our users. Not realizing which pin to use when was a problem. The UX for consumer and enterprise was also different, and this created challenges for end users when they were trying to set things up. As I said, my goal and the team's goal is not just to be convenient for end users. It needs to be convenient for IT. So we got a lot of feedback about simplifying deployment, and I'll talk about how we have done that. Lack of on-premise support. So as you saw, the configurations we support are cloud and hybrid. Lack of on-premise support was something that has definitely come up a lot, and I'll talk about that as well. And then improving management post-deployment. So how do you manage once you have deployed? Even though we have a set of policies, there were things around inventory and around troubleshooting that we got a lot of feedback on. So we have taken steps to address some of this feedback in the anniversary update, and we are working on a few of these things in the on our roadmap. So let's look at that. So first up, this is the problem I was talking about with the two pins. These are actual screenshots from the 1511 release where you could see exactly the same UI, except we had references to pin and work pin, and even in settings. So what we have done is essentially converge the two pins into one. So today, when you use the Windows 10 anniversary update and you set up Windows Hello for Business on a personal device, so you're having a personal device with a pin set up and you are using Windows Hello for Business, you will have the same pin that will address your consumer scenarios as well as your enterprise scenarios. This is a huge improvement from a usability standpoint because the users don't have to think about which pin to use when, and more importantly, they don't want to lock their TPMs out by using the wrong pins. So this works across desktop and phone. This is available in the build today, and it also simplifies management because you have a single set of pin policies that apply to that one pin. And if you're using the device lock policy, which is a separate policy set that we support, that is now reserved exclusively for passwords. So we have the passport or the Windows Hello for Business policies for PIN, and we have the device lock policies for password. Another big improvement we made here is something we called scriptless deployment. How many of you have started deploying Windows Hello with the 15.11 release? So I see a few hands go up. So when you use the 15.11 release, one of the things you probably realized is you need to set up a couple of custom scripts to set up the tasks for Windows Hello deployment. We have taken that away in the new release. We have added support in both SCCM 1606 as well as in the Windows client, where you don't need those custom scripts anymore. Those tasks are now inbuilt into the product. So this is just a you know, improvement to make it easier for folks to deploy. And if you've already started rolling it out, you can continue to use those scripts. And when you transition over, those scripts are no longer needed. This is the same transition we went to, through in the Microsoft environment. We have significantly improved the certificate enrollment time. And we also have new policies for the certificate authentication. So if you're doing an on-prem certificate authentication, configuring a policy allows us to discover those endpoints quickly, and that improves our certificate enrollment experience. Last but not the least, we added some usability hooks to help people easily, you know, adopt Windows Hello. So these are smaller improvements, but they have bigger impact. So for example, we have better indicators to users when they set up a PIN, the flow they are going through, how long it takes, and when it's done. And most importantly, we invested a lot in improving the performance. So on Surface Pro 4, the performance improvements from the 15.11 release to the 16.07 release are almost 50%. We have half the time it takes to sign in and unlock with the Windows Hello credential. So apart from the improvements we made in deployment and management, we also have a set of improvements that we have made in terms of adding support for new scenarios with Windows Hello. I'll just go through some of these. And there was a session on companion devices that happened earlier today. And you can catch that on video if you haven't, which has a lot of detail on these improvements. So first thing, we added support for fingerprint on Windows Phone. So when we have Windows phones that are coming out, the HP Elite X3, it has a support for a fingerprint reader on the phone itself. We made improvements to the fingerprint enrollment experience. The third one is an important one. We added support for Windows Hello in Microsoft Edge. So the way we think about it is you cannot have a world without passwords if you don't have the web without passwords. And to move to the web without passwords, we need to make sure the browsers support you know, Windows Hello. So the support for Windows Hello in Edge, this isn't just limited to Edge, right? This isn't just Microsoft trying to add support in their own browser. We have done a lot of work working with the standards bodies, both on the W3C front and as part of the Fast Identity Alliance of FIDO, where we now have a set of partners who are all invested in getting the world away from passwords and moving to a standardized set of protocols and APIs that allow us to use stronger credentials on the web. So this is, for those of you who are not familiar with the FIDO Alliance, it's an alliance of a lot of important companies in this space. It includes Google, Intel, and you can see the rest on the list. And we are heavily engaged in FIDO to make sure we have a standardized set of protocols that will work not just on the Windows device, not just on the Edge browser, but even on other browsers like Chrome, for example. The other big improvement we made is support for something we call companion devices. I'm going to talk about this in a little bit more detail. So when we introduced Windows Hello, our focus was on making sure you have a great experience with biometrics. But one of the challenges with biometrics is you need hardware that supports it. What we have done now with companion devices is you can use your existing hardware, and you can have a companion device, whether it's a phone or a wearable, that can then be used as a second factor. So let's talk about Windows companion devices in the context of the phone. What we have done is given you the ability to replace smart cards with a phone. So some of you I saw raise your hands when I asked about use of smart cards in your environment. A phone can now be a true second factor that you can use instead of your smart card in your environment. And it gives you a two-factor auth solution that can roam and that is FIDO compliant. So you can have something that will work across browsers and it will give you a true two-factor auth story. So the next thing we added was support for companion devices. Now these are wearables. These are slightly different from phones in the way they work with the Windows Hello framework. So what you have today is the two factors in the form of a key that is stored on the device, and it's a private key that is secured by the TPM, and a second factor, which is either a biometric or a PIN, or what we have now added is a companion device. So the companion device itself is not a true two-factor solution, but it adds a second factor to the Hello solution. To understand how this differentiates from the phone sign-in, we go to the next screen, where you can see the difference between how phone sign-in works. So in phone sign-in, you don't have any credentials stored on the device. Your phone has the key that is a private key secured by the TPM. And your second factor is either the fingerprint you are using with your phone or a PIN that you are entering on the phone. So with either using phones or using companion devices, you can now have a broader set of devices in your environment that support Windows Hello. Just to give you a glimpse into some of the companion devices that we have, I have some demo videos of some of the companion devices that we have done work with. These are part of the FIDO Alliance. So let's start with HID. So HID is a vendor that is known for their strong authentication hardware that they use mostly for multi-factor auth scenarios. And they are also known for the building access cards. Many of you may have used building access cards that come from HID. So the idea here is to use the power of the Windows Hello companion device framework to take the card that you use to enter your building and use it to enter your device. How cool is that? So let's look at a video that describes how the HID-based solution can be used for Windows Hello sign-in.
Today, we'll have a look at the HID Global Sign-In app for Windows 10 using an iClass CS card. The HID Sign-In app enables you to use the same credential that you use for physical access entry to sign into your Windows 10 PC or tablet device. To get started, download the HID Sign-In app from the Windows Store. Once the HID Sign-In app is installed, I'll register my iClass CS card to my PC. To register, I'll enter a pairing code to securely communicate to the card. Then simply tap my card to the contactless reader and enter my Windows PIN to prove that it's me registering a new companion device. The registration process is complete. To demonstrate the HID Sign-In app in action, I'll lock my PC. To unlock, I simply tap my card to the contactless reader. Now, anytime I want to unlock my PC, I only need to tap my card to unlock it. If your PC does not have a built-in contactless reader, HID offers a wide range of desktop readers for your every need. To learn more, visit us at hidglobal.com.
So that's HID. Since this companion device framework allows you to use any devices, it's not just limited to cards. The next device I'm going to show you is a band. It's a company called Nimi. They make these bands that allow you to track your health, and they also track things like your heartbeat. So these bands can also be used as a variable that allows you to sign into Windows. Let's take a look.
Today I'm going to walk you through a demo of how the Nimi Band, which is a Windows Hello companion device, can be used with the Windows Hello companion device framework in Windows 10. The first step to use the Nimi Band with any application is to authenticate to the device. I'm going to do this using the Nimi Band's Heart ID biometric, simply by placing my finger on top of the band sensor and matching my heartbeat to the template that's on the band. The band sends me a haptic notification to confirm that I have successfully authenticated. Next, I'll go to the Windows Store to search for and download the Nimi Companion Device app. After downloading, I will then open the Nimi Companion Device app to register my Nimi Band. To do this, I click register NIMI band, which triggers a light sequence to appear on the band. I will then enter the light pattern shown on the band into the companion device app. This process uses a Diffie-Hellman key exchange that ensures I am in fact registering the correct NIMI band. I then hit confirm and am prompted for my Windows PIN to complete the registration. I'll now test the application by locking my PC. To unlock it, I simply tap the NIMI band to show intent and my PC unlocks. Let's see that one more time. I'm going to lock my PC, then to unlock it, I tap my NIMI band and Windows will unlock. To learn more about the NIMI band and the Windows Hello Companion Device framework, go to NIMI.com.
So last but not the least, we also support traditional two-factor auth credentials, such as folks here might be familiar with the YubiKey. So YubiKey is a device that you can use as it's a USB-based device that supports two-factor auth and allows you to get into the device. So YubiKey is also something that extends the Windows Hello family by adding a companion device authentication scenario. So I'm going to run the video, and then I'm also going to show this in action.
Welcome to YubiCode. With the Windows 10 anniversary update, you can now use companion devices like the YubiKey to authenticate with Windows Hello. Currently, companion devices can only be used to unlock a Windows 10 device, which we will now demonstrate. To start with, we need a supported YubiKey, which can be purchased from a YubiCode store or Amazon. To enable companion devices, we need to set up a user PIN under Windows Settings, Accounts, Sign-in Options. Next, you'll have to go to the Windows Store to download and install the YubiKey for Windows Hello app. Launch the app, click the Register button to add a new YubiKey for account unlock. Then we insert our YubiKey into a USB port. After assigning a name to our YubiKey, we authenticate with our PIN or Windows Hello biometric gesture. The YubiKey is now registered to unlock this user account. Now, when the screen is locked, we can insert our registered YubiKey, touch the YubiKey button, swipe up on the screen, or press any keyboard key. The authentication happens in the background, and we have unlocked the computer. To learn more about how to set up your Windows 10 device for unlock with YubiKey, go to yubico.com/windowshello.
So the beauty of this is you can set this up using just an app installed on the device and then using your PIN to essentially bootstrap it. So even if you have a device that doesn't support a camera that is capable of face, you can set up YubiKey. And it's so seamless. So I have a device here that I have YubiKey set up, and all I have to do is plug it in and then tap on it, and it unlocks the device. So the user experience is very seamless. It's as good as using your face or fingerprint, but on devices that may not have that hardware support. And it's not just these three vendors that we are working with. There's a variety of partners who are onboarded to the CDF program, and we are still working with more and more partners. So we have, the idea here is to have an ecosystem of devices that can work with this. Question? Yes, so the question was, do we have policies for deciding which devices can be allowed? That's something we are working on. So again, with the, I would say in the current release, it's a limited capabilities for policies, but we are making it more granular. So that's feedback we have heard before, yes. So at this point, I'm going to talk about some of this, sorry, there's a question. So that's a great question. What happens when users forget their passwords because now they're using PIN or biometric to sign in, and they don't have their passwords anymore? So a couple of things there, right? The way we look at this problem is we are going through a transition where we are not ready to go to a completely passwordless world yet, right? Not in 2016. You have apps that require passwords. You have some services that require passwords. So some of the things that we are doing is making it easier for you to do a password reset. So if you're on a device that you're using Hello to sign in, we still have the ability for you to get password expiry notifications. And we have some work. Some of it is part of the 16.07 release, and there's some work that is in the pipeline to make it easier for you to go from signing into a device with Hello to a password reset website. So you could do that through a notification. We are looking at ways to improve on that, yes. So before I talk about roadmap, one of the questions for the audience, how many of you have an on-prem only environment where you don't have a cloud? Great, I see a few hands go up. All right, so you guys will find this exciting. So one of the biggest pieces of feedback we hear about Windows Hello, and as folks try to deploy it, is that it needs AAD. It needs a cloud today, even if it's hybrid. And so what we are working on is making it easy for you to deploy Windows Hello in a completely on-premise only environment. This is one of the biggest areas of focus. It's not in the current product, so this is some roadmap work I want to share with you. My goal here is to make sure you're aware of the work we are doing, and you have an opportunity to give us feedback to make sure it meets your needs. So just kind of to reiterate what I said, we have a lot of interest in this scenario, and we want to get that feedback. We want to make sure that we are building a solution that addresses your current deployment and makes it easy for you to move away from passwords. So this is what I shared earlier. This is how KeyTrust looks like today in the hybrid environment. Let's now look at how it will look in the future. One of the big things that changed is you don't need AAD anymore. That kind of was the core requirement here, where what you now need to look at in an on-prem environment is you have your traditional Active Directory, and instead of using AAD as the place where you are doing the federation and the directory services, we are using the ADFS. There's a typo there. It should say Active Directory Federation Services. So we're using Active Directory Federation Services as a way to do domain registration and key registration. The important thing is it still does not change the fact that if you're doing KeyTrust, you need a Server 2016 domain controller. That goes back to the fact of how Kerberos works. So if you're in an on-prem environment, you would need a 2016 DC. You would need the CA just for the DC certificate. Your clients don't need a certificate. And you need ADFS as a way to make this work. And your management story, again, we are looking at on-prem only, so we are looking at devices that are managed either via group policy or via config manager. So this is kind of the story we are building. It's not ready yet, but this is the direction we are going in for KeyTrust. Let me now talk about certificate trust. So this is how certificate trust hybrid looked like earlier. This is how it's going to change. So we'll have Active Directory on-premise, and we'll have ADFS, or Active Directory Federation Services. Need to fix that typo. But basically, we have ADFS as a way to do device registration, and it will also act as a certificate registration authority. For certificate-based deployment, you would still need a CA. But the idea here is to look at how traditionally certificates are deployed in on-prem-only environments using auto-enrollment and concepts that folks who have done PKI are familiar with. And management would be through group policy. So the idea here is if you have Config Manager, you can use it, and it's great. But if you don't have Config Manager and you have an on-prem only environment, you can just use traditional group policy to manage it. So we are at a point where we are working on this, and we are looking for feedback. And we are also looking for customers who are interested in trying out an early pilot as soon as we have it ready. So if you're interested in this on-prem only deployment of Windows Hello and the improvements we are making, please reach out to me. We can help you sign up for a pilot, and we can get you the bits as soon as they are ready as part of the Windows Insider program. So with that, I'm just going to get to kind of the conclusion part of the presentation. There is a lot more information about Windows Hello for Business I recommend taking a look at the Virtual Academy session. This goes into a lot more depth about some of the pieces I talked about today. And the third one is something I would highly recommend folks who are working on deployment to look at. So we worked very closely with our IT team to deploy Windows Hello in Microsoft, and we have it deployed all across Microsoft at this point. And they did a showcase document that explains what MSIT went through, some of the challenges they ran into, how they addressed those. So from an IT perspective, it's a great read in terms of what it takes to deploy Windows Hello for Business. Just want to highlight some sessions that you might find interesting. I had someone ask me about, is this the only session on Windows Hello? So we have some sessions that are interesting. There's a session on ending credential theft that focuses more on credential guard and some of the related topics to Hello. As I said earlier, we had a session earlier today about companion devices. Catch that on video. It talks in depth about how companion devices work. We have a session on Friday that goes into the identity management aspects of things like AAD join and how do you deploy that in your environment. And then for those of you who want to try this out, we have a lab available in the hands-on learning lab with some VMs set up for you to play with Windows Hello for Business configuration and management. And there are some theater sessions from our IT partners on how Microsoft IT deployed Windows Hello and some of these solutions in their environment. So just to kind of wrap things up before I get into questions, again, the goal here is to build something that is convenient and secure. We want to make it easy to deploy and manage, and we have improvements in the anniversary update that we would really like you guys to try out. We added support for companion devices and phone sign-in. And last but not the least, try it out. If you're interested in some of the stuff that is coming down the pipe, reach out to us or give us any feedback you have. We are continually looking to get more and more adoption, but more importantly, make it easy to adopt and easy to deploy. So we are looking to hear from you. And check out the Windows Insider booth. This is just something I want to make sure everybody here is signed up for the Insider program so you can get early access to the builds, to some of the improvements we talked about. Thank you. Using OTP, things like that. So we are, again, as I said, it's a transition. Okay. This is the first step to get us there.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
My question into that one, because I was wondering, if you have a password policy that your domain password expires, how does it handle that?
So if your domain password expires, so we actually have a flow today where if you're using a PIN to sign in, but you have an expired password, we'll tell you that the password is expired and you need to change it to get into the device, right? So that's how it would work in that case.
Hold on, so can you repeat the questions as they're being asked?
Sure. Sorry.
Do you have any timeline for the on-premise?
So the question is, do you have any timeline for the on-premise? So we're working on it right now. We don't have a timeline, but as you probably heard in other Windows sessions, we are doing regular releases of Windows. So there are releases coming up in 2017. The best thing I can tell you is if you're interested in that, we'll have a pilot available very soon. So just reach out to me, and as soon as the pilot is ready, we can hook you up and get you going. So the question is, are we adding MFA support for on-prem? that's something we are looking at. It will probably be after we have made the deployment easier and available, but that's definitely something we are going to be looking at because it completes the scenario for on-prem. Right, so the question is about remote devices in an on-prem only environment. The way that would work is so Windows has this concept of cache logon, right? So if you have a credential that you have cached, it will work. But if you just, you know, either it has timed out or the cache has expired and you don't have line of sight to DC, to your domain controller, then you won't be able to use that credential. So that's the limit. Yeah, so the question is about, you know, people who have DA. One of the challenges we have with just remote devices and on-prem is remote devices are better suited for a cloud. Like if you have AAD, and that's really the direction we are going with. If you have AAD joint devices, if you are a road warrior or you have a remote devices, all you need is internet connectivity. You don't need a connection to the DC. But if you are you're hybrid. On hybrid, you could still do AAD join on those devices, right? Because you do have a cloud presence. So, let's follow up offline because we have done work to improve AAD provisioning in RS1 in the anniversary update, and there's also work happening to make it easier in the next release. So I'm happy to help you because that's part of something we want to enable for remote scenarios. So that's a great question. It's something we get asked. The question is about multi-personality with a user that has a role as an admin, maybe just the user account, it's the same person. Couple of things on that, right? We don't have necessarily the right pieces for something like face. You have only one face, so face isn't the best credential to use in that scenario. But it's something we are looking at. I've heard that feedback come up before. We don't have a good answer today. So if you're using biometrics, it's tied to an account. And it's only that account that it will unlock, right? So one solution, maybe not the best one, is if you could use like two separate accounts for the user. Right. Yeah, so it's a limitation. I don't have a good answer for you today. No, we don't have that today. Any other questions?
Yeah. Similar question on if you have a web access management solution today, right? And we have hundreds of apps integrated into that solution. Are those in? We have it integrated to the extent that they can use the Kerberos ticket to move forward. And I know I'm worried about Credential Guard from that perspective, and I'm also worried about this new authentication method. That's what prompted my question about users forgetting their password, because sometimes. Many of our users only log into these systems once a quarter or something like that, and they will have no clue what their password is. They never have a clue.
Yeah, so one of the experiences that exists today is if you sign in with your PIN, you will still see a notification that says your password is about to expire. Right. By default, it shows up 5 days before expiry, and you can configure that on the ADFS backend. So once you see that, the user is prompted. Now, obviously, if the user ignores that for 5 days, which happens, or they haven't logged in, then they end up with an expired password. If you end up with an expired password, what we do is you sign in with a PIN. We prompt you to change your password. We don't let you in. Well, to change your password, you would have to. Exactly. You would have to know your. If you have to do a password reset, you can't do it on box. You have to either call your admin, or if you have a solution that does a web-based password reset, right? So either you change your password if you remember your old one, and we allow you to do that, or you go through a password reset flow. Some of the things we are looking at, we haven't built it yet, is making it seamless where even if you don't remember your old password, can we use your hello to change your password? There's some technical challenges with that. We are working through that.
Mm-hmm. Help.
introduces more options for, you know, for someone to steal a password, like smart card. A lot of these things are even getting easier to manufacture just by stealing a card, or, you know, users don't even understand these types of things.
Right.
What do you guys talk about?
So to onboard a vendor to the CDF. So CDF is a framework, right? It's a framework on which we have a set of APIs that you need to build an app for, as I showed. And we have some guidance to the vendors on, and we are looking at ways to whether we can certify some certain vendors, right? But at the end of the day, the idea here is to give an ecosystem as an option, especially when you have devices that may not have a TPM or may not have a face-capable camera. So it's a choice, and as someone asked me earlier, can you control that? Yes, there will be, you know, there's ways where you could say, I don't want companion devices in my environment because I, you know, have some questions about how they're used, and that's a choice you have from an IT standpoint, right? But the idea here is to at least give people an option to move to a stronger credential than a password with their existing devices. If you are on a domain joined account, yes. So it's not there in the product today, but it is feedback we have heard, and it's something we are thinking about. The CDF scenario lends itself nicely to that because you have a credential that is roaming, but CDF doesn't work on first logon. It requires you to do a setup. So that's something okay, that's good for me to know. If you could share some details about the customer, we would love to validate some of the thinking we have in that space. Yep. Correct. So the reason it's needed now is I think the best way to say it is that's how it's designed today. We don't have the hooks in place to use auto enrollment for the Hello certificates, and that's one of the gaps we are closing. So when we started out with Hello, we kind of started cloud first, and some of the focus was phone and even Hello started as a consumer scenario, just to give you more context on, we started with consumer and then we brought it to enterprise. And so initial thinking there was driven by the cloud, and Endes was already something that allowed you to distribute certs in an MDM managed environment. And so we kind of extended that, but we ourselves realized, and a feedback helped us, is when you are in a domain environment, auto-enrollment is a much better way to manage certificates. So that's the support we are adding. And we'll still have those options available. So if you don't have ADFS, for example, and you're using some other federation service and you want to continue using SCCM, that's an option. But we are looking to also give you the support where you don't need to use SCCM for certificates and you just fall back to standard auto-enrollment. So the short answer is no, right? That's just the hard requirement we have, is we want to make deployment easier and we'll give you more options, as I said, where we'd give you auto-enrollment as a choice against SCCM, but we won't have anything that will be a breaking change. And we already have big deployments, at least like within Microsoft, for example, where we have 100,000 devices on this, right? And we cannot afford to do that. We have other customers who have started deploying. So that's definitely something that's a big consideration for. Exactly. Yes.
So for domain login users, right? Yep. I understand it was consumer, you did a pin, then you require a pin. Why do you require a pin if your domain joined and you have a password? What is the point of having a pin? Why should that
be? So the difference there is we have policies where you can disable the password, right? The pin isn't a password because pin is, as I said, backed by a two-factor credential, right? So while the user may think of it as another string that they have to type, from a security standpoint, it's not a secret that is shared with the server.
In reality, though, we can't pick up a password for quite a while. Right? You're going to take years. I can't go to a human server realistically, that password's going to be there for at least 5 to 10 years. You can get there eventually. The PIN is kind of a pain in the neck. Why do I have to have two of them? You need the password. We're going to have to keep that password. While you're figuring it out, that's great. Get rid of the PIN. Why do I need it?
So I've heard this feedback where people want to use, just to make sure I understand, you still want hello in terms of biometrics, right?
Exactly.
But you don't want PIN to be the fallback, right? Because the reason we have PIN, just to answer the technical reason, is when your bio doesn't work, like you cut your finger or your camera's busted, right? You have to fall back to something else, right? Yeah. So today what we have is the ability, or we don't have a two-factor backup. It's a phone or something else that the user has to rely on. We have looked at, just to share, you know, complete honesty, we have looked at getting rid of the PIN. We actually looked at it when we started looking at the RS2 configuration. We ran into some challenges with just the design that we have today, and we want to focus our energy. Like, I understand that getting away from passwords is hard, but that's really where we want to focus, and we want to make this transition easier, like some of the problems with forgotten passwords and things like that. So I'm happy to have a longer conversation on your environment and how we can help you there, but currently, at least, we don't have a way in policy to completely turn off PIN. That's a limitation. Yeah.
Domain version where we can use our current AI, what level of domain do you have to be at?
So there's really no hard requirement. So it would be, so there's no DFL requirement. And if you, I think we go back all the way at least to 2008. So I believe anything before that, I don't know if it's still in support or not. But any supported version is okay. There's no DC requirements for that.
And further conversations, yeah. Are directly with you, or should I go to
you can. Just reach out to me and have your account team in the loop, because I'm happy to help. Yeah. You can, but there are some challenges. So when you talk about shared devices, like, well, actually, let me take that back. Biometric itself will not work. That's where companion devices come in, right? So because biometric is tied to a single user, and it would only work for that user, right? The signed-in user. So if you're using a Surface Hub where you have multiple users signed in at the same time, we have some limitations that we are working through. So it's a scenario that we are looking at for things like education, where you have a classroom, and it's not there today, which is why today we recommend either using PIN, but the users have to remember that, or using companion device. I mean, the only way you, for that scenario, if you have separate user accounts and only one user signed in, so it could be a shared device with a single, yeah, for that, that's how, that is supported. It's not, what we don't support is multiple users interacting at the same time.
And then is there any limit on the number of biometric accounts that could be set up?
So there is some limit from a face template standpoint. I think that's 10. I can go back and confirm, because it's got to do with the face matching algorithms, and they deteriorate if you go above a certain threshold. But I believe, virtual smart card is limited to 10, and I think here it's the same, but the reasons are slightly different. It is to do with the face.
So this is multi-factor.
Mm-hmm. So there is a policy today that you can do the smart card required for interactive logon on the user account. And that will no longer even show the password cred prop, right? Because the user doesn't have a password. There's a separate policy which we are working on. It's not there. So, but this is something just to share with you, is prevent the user from using a password to sign in, but allow them to use a password to a service that only works on a password, right? We have had some customers run into situations where if you remove the password from the account, then things break. But at the same time, you don't want to use a password to get into the device because it's weaker. So there's a policy we are looking at where it would at least eliminate password for sign-in and help you transition. That doesn't exist today, but if you're looking at a solution today, I would recommend the smart card required for interactive logon policy. Sure. It would act like that, exactly. Yeah.
Have you heard of DFAR? This government came out with some new rules last year about raising the game with the app development information. We want stronger multi-factor authentication across the board, also from customers, practicing and contractors for it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of being able to block them from signing into their workstation
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with that, but I got this requirement when I met with the defense industrial base, which is like 10 companies that work as defense contractors. So I think it's the same requirement. Yeah. Any LTSB issues? I'm trying to map in LTSB in my head. I think 1607 is LTSB. So, yeah, it will work. It's the same 1607 bits, so no problems there. Have you looked at the 1607 bits or?
No, I haven't.
So that sounds like a bug that we have fixed. So because it's the policy sounds very familiar. And we had a bug with that policy, which sounds like exactly what you're talking about. So if I remember correctly, the fix is in the 1607 release. Yep, thank you.
Nice.
All right, thank you. I haven't met you, but I think I've worked with a couple of folks. I'm not remembering them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. We're trying to make sure, like, at least the three presentations we have the videos running.
We have more. I'm going to try to get with Rob.
I think I have a device. I just didn't have time to get it here.
So we've made everything available today. So anybody wants to order, they can get it now. So all of the scores are up.
Awesome. Oh, great. Awesome. Nice meeting you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. We'll come down actually. Yeah. Card as well. So one thing that we are doing is, are you part of the Windows TAP? Windows.
We started the process of it, and then it kind of just died off. Because there were some requirements, right?
I see. So right now, where we are at is, in a quarter or so, by the end of the year, is when we expect to get those pilots going for the on-prem stuff, right? And
okay.
I am looking for, you know, customers who are interested and who are looking to deploy. Like we, you know, in the Windows TAP program, we sent out an email saying, you know, we started out with 15 slots because I have a team that can staff that and I can get more support. We already got 40 customers interested, right? So, again, the timeline is a little bit iffy because the next release is supposed to be sometime soon, and we don't know whether it will make it there, but at least the bits will be ready for pilots, which is what I'm looking for, right?
Okay.
Because this is not something you deploy overnight. You
right.
try it out,
oh, yeah, yeah.
right? And that I understand
it's
that.
Understand,
yeah.
Up